to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Let's go and see the
stars, Milky Way. Hey, welcome back, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Will, the Indy Airhawks fly-in's going on this weekend. I went up there Thursday, got a flight in. Had a motor out. Yeah, had a motor out. Actually, I don't know how, let me just say, if you fly a Simonini, first pre-Simonini, my model's an 07. I've always had wiring issues, and I've had some other issues too, but I've taken care of as far as mechanical wise. But used to always have, the first couple of years I was flying, I kept having a wiring issue. And if you are familiar with those Simonini 122 Fresh Breeze, you know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe not now. I don't know. Anyway, basically the wire that came with the original 07 and stuff, it was too brittle, too rigid, and would break all the time. And I kept on fixing it, and finally got some spider wire, which is like an RC type of, strands of wire is basically what it is, and really haven't had a problem with it in the last almost 2 summers of flying. And went up Thursday and had a motor out. It's probably about 3 miles out. Got a ride back from some very nice people. Actually fixed it in the field there, and where I ended up landing at, which, you know, you're number one, you're always looking for a place to land. Let me tell you, it's funny because I was flying with Phil and Cindy. If you're into the Midwest and you fly in the Midwest, you know who Phil and Cindy are. They've been flying forever. Probably got a million flying hours between the both of them. So, but I was flying with them, and we were the wind was coming out of the south, and so we just started moseying south and got to a point where I was telling Phil over the radio, man, not many places to land out here. And so we kind of went, as far as we could, just in case a problem had happened, like a motor out issue, turned and was heading back towards the way we came, airport. And all of a sudden, I mean, instantly my motor was like, okay, you know, and I knew what it was exactly, because it didn't like completely shut out. It actually kept on trying to run. So I was probably arcing back and forth on the wire, and it was the wire, one of the wires on the coil, which is what I figured. So found a nice little place to land, kind of a crosswind upwind, you know, down crosswind, yeah, kind of a little crosswind landing. But hey, it was, I greased it in there with no problem, enough close to the road. And it's funny because Phil was flying over, and he was saying, "Hey, man, I got all the tools I need, and if I need anything." And I actually had almost everything I needed, but I got it where I could get back up and flying. One of the locals came and asked for help, and so, you know what, I went ahead and took the help. I did try to take off one time, but I was taking off, didn't realize it, but I was taking off downwind, so the wind came up all crazy and stuff. So, but anyway, no big deal. It's one of those things where, you know, some of the things, it's funny because I guess I should talk about what things that you probably should take with you when you're just in case of a motor out. Most of these wings come with two bags, they come with a stuff bag, and then they come with a bag that the motor's wrapped up in. At least mine did. Most of the pairs come with a bag, I believe. If you don't, you need to get a bag that real lightweight nylon bag, and just kind of roll it up, fold it up in your pocket. On my harness I do, and that way you can roll your wing up and travel a lot easier. I got caught one time without that bag, didn't realize you know, one of those things I learned. You know, have that bag so you can fold your wing up and you don't have the wing flying all over the place or trying to sit on it, or, you know, when you're going back, especially if you're getting a ride back like I did. So one of the things, I had a wire stripper, but I didn't have my tape, and I should have had. And it's funny because I'm looking at my little parts bin, I already had one of those little wires made up, so, you know, it was supposed to be in my pocket where all my little tools, and I carry a spark plug wrench, wire stripper, tape, and I had those two little wires made up, so if I had that problem, that's, you know, if it broke on me while I was out there in the field or whatever, and that's what it was, I could just plug, unplug, and back off again. Of course, I didn't put it in my pocket. So, lesson learned. I'm going to go ahead and make two more. Like I said, over almost 2 years since I've had a motor out. So, which is really good. Really good, since I rebuilt my motor and did all the refinement and stuff on the wiring and stuff. So, I wouldn't have that problem. So, anyway, very interesting. Man, it was funny in the fact that I was talking about it like 5 minutes ago, and there it was going down. So, let's see, a couple other things here. I'll tell you what I have for you today, actually. I'm just going to have the second part two of the Chris Santacroce talk, wing control. Another great segment I have for you as far as wing control. I think I have one more with Chris talking. It's from the Beach Blast. So, after you hear me ramble here a little bit, we'll get right into that. Couple other things. Oh, gosh. If you guys missed the Dave Purden fly-in, it was last weekend. Man, they had great weather. It's great. Go to Big List, and you'll probably find a link or whatever as far as to some of the pictures and stuff. I've talked to a couple people that actually went to the fly-in, and it's funny because it looked bad, but, man, they had great weather, flying weather, so great location. Let's see, what else? Hey, one of the other things, how many of you guys put stuff on YouTube? And I guess I didn't realize it or figure it out until maybe a couple of weeks ago or two or whatever, and you wondering why you can't pull it onto, like, your phone. You know, it says not activated or not used for, you can't use it on a mobile unit. Come to find out, if you use a popular song or a song to whoever, I can't even think of, you know, that owns that song, for some reason, I guess, YouTube basically shuts it out. So, lesson here, I'm trying to tell you, is just use some abstract music or no music at all. So, I have to be careful because the last two, I used a real popular song, and you didn't even see it. You know, it didn't even come up on, unless you were subscribed to me. It didn't even come up, so lesson learned here. So something real quick. I'm sure a lot of you already know that. I didn't, believe it or not. Didn't know that. So, Mike, hey, props. I guess Mike's throwing in the props again. See if I can get in touch with him, talk to him, see what's going on. I think he closed down shop last week. At least that's what was posted on the Big List. I should say artist Mike K. Beautiful props, man. You almost hate putting them on your motor and tearing them up. That's how nice of product. I know he, let's see, it's a couple of years ago, I know he had a move and he was shutting down, but he started producing again, and I was supposed to talk to him, never to get a chance to, so we'll see if we can get in touch with him. You know, I've been in this for a while, and of course you gotta have a sports pilot license or better to fly an Exciter, which is a Fresh Breeze flying machine. Paratour has one on sale. I guess it's still on sale. Man, I would love to have that thing. So go check it out, guys. It is you could tow it and two seater and bad. It's basic PPC, but it is like the Mac Daddy of PPCs. I just wanted to, just one of those things where I was like, wow. I looked at it and dreamed for about 15 or 20 minutes about that thing. So that's Paratour's Exciter. If you're looking for one. Man, I don't even know if they're producing it anymore. So, if you remember the last show, I talked about knowing your limits and stuff. There was a great write-up by a guy by the name of John, I think it is, out of Michigan. He posted it up as the Bleacher. I'll try to find the link. And it was another one of those, probably should have thought a little bit more about, you know, your location and everything. He came out okay, bruised up a little bit, but it was a great example of just kind of knowing your limits and knowing, you know, when to say no, just walk away. So I asked him to come on. He said he wasn't really interested in anything. He did put me a little, said it was okay to talk about it or whatever. He sent me a little email and a private email explaining a little bit more. So I'll try, like I said, I'll try to find the link to it. It's just one of those things, is one another one of those things where, you know, you try, you think you can make it, and, you know, the W's, you know. Oh, edit W from Terry waving, you know, waving at the crowd, you know. So another W and W's, you know, that'll get you. So anyway, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and get into the Chris Santacroce Beach Blast talk about wing controls. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on the other end of this. Will Jones talking PPG Radio.
When it comes to turning, it's like a car or motorcycle or skiing, where there are ways to arc a turn and carve a turn, and there are ways to just slide a turn and just turn like sloppy. And so, turns out, there again, we're at the mercy of our intuition, which tells us to just like do stuff like yank. And if you check out the way you turn, a huge percentage of you are going to notice that you just yank. And so I'm going to suggest to you that there's another way. And I'm going to suggest to you that there's a couple reasons why. You might want to use a new technique. Check this out. So here's the biggest one. If you're loosey-goosey, say you have a weight shift system or whatever, and you just pull brake on one side, guess what it does? It's your weight shift. Yeah, it makes me go the other way. Because, you know, technically speaking, we're pulling flat, right? And up to 10% flat produces lift, and then after that, drag. But that lift that you produce in that first 10% of your flat, that, you know, if you're loose, it's just going to make you go like this. And then, if you ever were going to kind of, who thinks they have weight shift at all? Okay, so, you know, half the people think they have some weight shift, and leaning does something. But, yeah, if you can do that, then every bit of brake you pull will work to turn you in the direction you want to go. And then the next concept is that, generally speaking, the way a pure carve a turn is, you know, get the hips over, start pulling, but then pull gently at the beginning until you develop the turn a little bit. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this, but you get a little bit banged up to the side, you get the turn happen a little bit, then you pull a little harder, works really quite nice, and then, you know, kind of let off smoothly. So that's the formula. And it can all be done with a relaxed arm. So that's another thing that you can check is, like, how much am I getting stiff? And if you go to the gym, then you have a bigger hurdle than most doughboys like me. But even if I fly tandem and I really need to crank the thing, I can still make a huge input with a relaxed arm. And what's the bonus of that? Yeah, I mean, there's lots of bonuses, you know, more enjoyable, et cetera, but here's the most important one. I get to stay in tune with the changing pressures in the wing, you know? Oh, you know how notice pressure's non-existent? Starts to develop, gets a little heavier, 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 big wall. And as you know from setting your glider down, every time you do, you pull through the wall, and then it's gone. So by having a relaxed arm, you get to feel the changing pressures in the wing more. If you happen to go through turbulence, and then it turns out that the best way to handle it is to be kind of like a puppet and just kind of flow with the turbulence and give the glider what it needs. And you can do it without thinking if you're relaxed. But if you're stiff, if you have a funny posture of any kind where any muscles are engaged, then none of that magic happens. So, relax the jello in the arms. It has far-reaching benefits. And so, yeah, that's the concept on turning. And then, if it happens to be circles, then, you know, look and lean, start out the turn gently. Let the turn develop a little bit. Get it where it's starting to happen. And then, pull a little extra. And make, say you're making a circle, my suggestion is make 4 or 5 adjustments per circle. Add a little, kind of think about what that's going to do, maybe let off a little, go outside for 8. Maybe a little bit like you have a kayak paddle in your hand, but just try not to be yank and hold it or hook the thumb. try to articulate as much as you can, try to keep the arm relaxed as much as you can, and realize there are some ways to turn that are better than others. You may enjoy yourself more. You know, you may find your glider has more personality than you thought. So there's things called wingovers and spirals, right? They're also second cousins of 180s and 360s. And there's no spiralometer or wingoverometer, so we don't really get too heavy into that. We just go out there and turn. I mean, 180s and circles are like fundamental elements of flight, right? So I don't really get into like how hard was I turning kind of discussions. But let's suffice to say that when you ratchet it up a tiny bit, then there are things to consider. And so the things to consider on the circles are the most interesting. And you guys, forgive me who have seen this chat before. Yesterday we grabbed a prop over here. Not a prop, literally, but a prop like that. I'll grab it. Incidentally, anybody ever notice after you do a 180, sometimes you have to adjust and give more input? Like you start a turn and you think, oh, I'm really cranking here, and then all of a sudden you're back to normal flight, whoever has that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why is that?
Because of the pendulum?
Yeah, it's just strictly a pendulum. I mean, we're a big weight at the end, some long strings. You give an input, you swing out to the side, and it just stay out there at low intensity levels? No, it comes back to equilibrium. So for our purposes right now, you're just going to imagine that this is you. You're the hook. And then up here is the glider, right? And so low intensity levels, any kind of spinning around, spiraling, I should say, you're going to come back to equilibrium really easy. So whoever had the feeling like while they were turning, man, my glider just keeps wanting to go straight. I just have to keep working it. Yeah. And so then who has ever had the feeling that their glider kind of does the opposite? Like, holy crap, my glider gets cranking and it just wants to take off. Off it goes. Yeah, you have that. And so just recognize that's nothing quirky about your glider. That's just the result of being at the end of a long pendulum. So again, low intensity levels, it's back to equilibrium real quick. Real quick. My glider just won't turn. It never has turned. And then you keep, you know what? I'm going to give a little extra today. And you cross a certain line, and then all of a sudden, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. So what that means is there's some stuff to know. Namely, but spirals and circles will be hard to get into, hard to get into, hard to get into, and then hard to get out of, hard to get out of, hard to get out of, hard to get out of. And this line will be kind of blurry, you know. And it's really easy to be right here for even years. So when you're right here on the curve, you take it low, you do it routinely, you know exactly how many circles it's going to take, you got a system. It can last a long time. And then one day you get here, and all your rules don't work. And your low altitude thing, it really doesn't work. And sadly, over the years, anybody who's been around a while can name this many dudes who were into cranking hard round spirals and now are not with us anymore. And it's a pretty sad deal. So this is why, and it turns out there's some stuff to know. Who has a brother who used to dig around with spirals and is no longer with us? Anyone? Yeah. So it's a bad deal. Sonny, I mean, we just had one in Texas not too long ago, and it's like the writing's on the wall, you can see it. And the homeboy was into round spirals, and he was headed for trouble. And we talked to him, and he didn't get it, because he was hanging out here. If it ever goes here for you, while you're working on it, you know, if you're out just dabbling, you get here, and then you survive it, you don't mess around there anymore. Yeah.
I notice that when I start to get in the spiral, as soon as those G forces really start falling,
yeah,
I tend to back off.
Yeah.
Because, and it's like, whoa, I'm not sure if I have control.
Right. And so, how hard is this guy cranking? Nobody knows. Could be that he's just barely turning, or he could be that he is like a spiral demon. But this manifestation of the spiral kind of continuing on its own, it can happen at all levels. I've had people at the lake where they just kept circling these lazy bastard circles in the middle of the lake. Hello, what are you doing? Go to the shore, come on. Straight, left, outside break. Come on, come on, come on, come on, turn. What are you doing? Are you having a heart attack? What is going on here? Super low intensity, right? And then last minute cruise to the shore, land. What was that? Seriously, what just happened? A spiral took on a life of its own for him. You know, he got stiff. He got overwhelmed by it. The G's can manifest in different ways for different people. You see spots, tunnel vision, you name it. I had a guy come just a couple weeks ago who's an aerobatics coach, you know, airplanes, and he went and did just some lazy circles, and I thought, we need to get this guy here so that he understands that it's, it starts to take on a life of its own. And so he did some, not too hard at all, and he lands and he goes, dude, that completely whacked me out, and I feel all weird and busy. And he goes, you know what? I do G, I pull these all the time. That was like four, you know, because they have the G meter. Excuse me, and I can tell you this guy was like, on my scale of 1 to 10, he was hanging out like at a 4. And he said he was pulling like 4 Gs. So we pull some crazy Gs in paragliders, and we can. And say you're, who's never going to make hard circles? Who's just not into that kind of thing, not really a style. Guess what? Here's the bummer. Sometimes you can have a malfunction that will just pitch you into some. It'll just pitch you into some spiral. So you don't want to know anything about this because you're never going to go there. Too bad. You need to own this. So here are the quirky things about it. Here's how it manifests. You're cranking these circles, off you go, and it gets to a certain point and you go, you know what? That's just too much. That's a little more than usual, and no, that's just too much. So what does it say in the book? What do you do when things get weird? Hands up, right? Hands up will just sort me out. That's how paragliders work. It says in the manual. Guess what the glider hears when you've got it in that mode and then you go, it hears, yeah, continue. What you're doing is good. Go on with that. So that was the part where I said, you will come here and will hopefully learn one thing at least that will change your world and could save you. And that's one of them. Letting off smooth is exactly what you don't really want to do when you get into that aggressive spiral mode. Now, let's just say that you're smart enough to know if you cranked in there to the right, outside brake is kind of the thing, right? Yeah. So now I pull my outside brake. And now, what's the problem? What's that?
Stall. You're stalled right
now. Yeah, but it's not stall, actually. It just, it's not in that zone. But just look closely at me right now, what I'm getting. I pulled outside brake, but I'm pulling both. He said it. I'm pulling both, because I forgot to let off on this one. I didn't think of it like a kayak paddle. I just kind of had this one grip, and that's what got me in there. And then all I did was just tighten down this one, because I knew that was one pull. So what's the divider here? It hurt. Continue that. Let's make that more rad. Yeah. So, you know, spread the word, letting off smooth, and then pulling both will both make the thing take off and continue. And so, what does that mean? If this got us into it, and what gets us out? Yeah, it looks like this, like you have a kayak paddle in your hand and a jab.
Outside in, inside out.
Yeah. So now, it's all pretty clear now, right? And you're cranking right, and so that's an outside brake that you pulled to get it out. And so, you know, that's all awesome. And now you're pulling 6 G's, and it's like this. Now, which one was the outside? So, here's the problem. Half the people, half the time, when I go, yo, outside brake, hello, guess what they pull?
The inside tighter.
Oh, wow.
And so that might explain even why, you know, some of our brothers got to here,
and they didn't get out of it.
And it got a little weird, yeah, despite them knowing that they needed to maybe, you know, jab to the outside. Because, you know, sometimes you see it. Oh, it clicked. They know they needed the abrupt jab to the outside. Whoops, that's not the outside. I mean, it really will take off. So, yeah, quick outside jab. So if you ever go into a set of circles and you're thinking, oh, it's like a thunderstorm above me, the big ears aren't working, maybe you did the beast stuff, maybe you didn't, maybe you have training in that, maybe you don't, but now I need to circle. As you go into the circle, you say to yourself something like, hey, going into the right here, left hand will get me out. So when the tunnel vision happens and, you know, it's all wild, and you go, what was that? What hand was it that gets me out? The left hand. So what happens if you're cranking a hard right circle and then you jab the left hand and the glider comes out of it? What's it look like? Yeah, it goes back behind you and then it goes out in front. And could that be messy?
Yeah.
Is that the worst thing ever?
No.
It's not as bad as cranking those circles. You know, continuing circles. But how would you deal with that? Say that you're going to exit abruptly, and you're going to do the big surge thing. What's the best way to handle it? Glider's back behind you. What are you going to do?
Hands up.
It's glider's racing out in front now.
Great.
Yeah. And so the best beginner way to handle it is when it's behind you and you have let off. But do you know when it's going to take off and go out in front exactly?
No.
Not really. So just be ready, have the hands alive, don't be static. And when it goes out in front, be like, pump, a little pumping in a lot of areas, even in kiting, kind of works. If you watch somebody who's good at kiting, it almost looks like they're pumping arbitrarily. You ever seen that? In fact, they didn't need to ride, didn't need to let off, didn't need to pull brake. Something magic about it, because if you just stick your hands at one certain place, you're betting all your money on that one particular kite. And if you move them around, like, the odds that you're going to pull too much are not real good if you're pumping, because you're always letting off. And the odds that you're going to pull too little while you're pumping are pretty not that good, because you're constantly pulling. So if you're kiting, you know, and you've been pulling a bunch of right, then you need to pull a bunch of left. And if you've been pulling a bunch down, you need to let off. So it kind of works if you have an event too, a bit of flapping. What's the way to make a smooth exit out of those circles?
Control the power.
Control the power? But like, say you come out, like, that spiral was way too much. I got a jab outside break. Okay, now I'm going straight. Would ever be a good idea to go that way?
Yeah.
That's called a loop. Sure you want to do that? That's a barrel roll by definition. So file that one. You'll never crank hard circles one way and then go back the other. Also, who's ever done wing over type turns into a circle? Yeah. Don't confuse that with circles into a wing over. That's way more than you want to bite off. Even though you might nail it one time, that's really not good. So log that one too. And so if it's not go that way and it's not go straight, then what's my... Yeah, you go back into it. Gentle. How much? How many degrees a turn? 90, 180. You're dissipating that energy. It can really make things a lot simpler for you. You know, instead of having the big wobble with the surge and the little deflations in here and there, you just, even if you think you did it too late, oh wow, did I blow that exit? Well, it can lean and pull. Even at the late, late hour, carving around another 90 or 180, it'll be smooth.
Because that, is that dissipating the energy?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah, that's the way it wants to go.
More relaxed.
Yeah. So, who's ever heard of asymmetric spiral? Yeah, it's the spiral by definition where you kind of pump up the intensity and then you kind of let off every time you go around. And it demonstrates a high level of skill, gives you a chance to breathe, kind of relax, the G's go away for a second, and then crank it back around every time you go around. Gives you a chance to opt out once per 360. It's the cool thing. So, if you ever have a buddy who's hot on spirals, go, you can, sometimes they don't listen to this reason, but one thing that they will listen to is being shamed into trying something else. And so what you say is, hey bud, you know that's not really a very good demonstration of skill. The cool guys do asymmetric spiral where they kind of pump up the intensity and let off every circle, and that's like what everyone's hit. So you might want to start that. And for sure you can get that a little bit wrong too, but we haven't lost any brothers on asymmetric spiral. And turns out, like, who's ever thermaled or would like to thermal or messes with thermals? Yeah, so, you know, see the thermal's right here, and you're looking and leaning, and you pull. Does the glider, you're getting a certain amount of break. What is the happens when you hit the thermal? Kind of straightens you up, right? So what do you have to do to, if you really want to turn? You've got to add a little bit of break. And then you're carving around the thermal, and then a second later, you're out of it, you're over here. And now you got all this bang, it's just diving, right? So what do you do? What should you do? What do you need to do? Yeah, you need to stop banking. Make it mellow out, right? But then where's the thermal? What do I need to do next?
Get back in.
Crank the hard circle. And so that is actually the asymmetric spiral mechanics right there. So if you're wondering if it's applicable, hell yeah, it's applicable. It's thermaling. And, you know, it really will increase the odds that you have a good time. If you ever get aimed at something, instead of being the guy who goes, get out of here, which could lead to spin, right? Straight elbow, big input. Then you'll be the guy who kind of like is athletic, kind of starts off the turn gentle, carves it around. There's a little something special about when you pull brake, starting off gentle and then pulling harder and later. So on wing overs and circles. Cool. So then you got your descent techniques. And so one of the.
Quick question before you go on about the spirals?
Yes.
If you happen to get yourself into one of these, when you're locked in spirals, have you heard anything about yanking on both brakes real hard to get in?
I haven't. All I know is that that tends to make it take off.
To make it more like a pump, right? You know, not just.
Yeah, I have had, when the old days I had a glider that was a huge comp glider kind of thing, and it I had a deflation and it was spiraling, and I was pulling an outside brake, and I had full and free brake travel. And I went, whoa, that's not good, you know, it's not working. So I just grabbed the rear riser, and I gave one of these, and it snapped it out of that mode. And so if you're wondering if something abrupt is a good idea, yeah, it is. But from what I know, if you crank the glider into a spiral and then you go like this, it just kind of tightens up, gets a smaller radius, not too good. But something abrupt, you're right on that for sure. Something abrupt. You got to do something. You don't want to be static.
I wish this would come out. Maybe if I...
That's not it. That's what causes problems. It has to be snap the hip, you know, whatever, something.
All right, guys. Second part to the Chris Santacruci talk down at Beach Blast. I got one more, I think one more segment for you on it, or actually part three for Chris's talk, I believe. Wing control, man. Wing control was good stuff, wasn't it? So stay tuned for the third part. And also, man, another talk that I'm going to make sure I'm going to take and post. A lot of the instructors down there this year actually got kind of talked to us about different things, their instructions, things they do's and don'ts, and some really good information. And actually one really cool part you will hear next time, or when I posted on that, when the instructors came in, I think it was Chad Bastin, Paul Zarnicki, Chris Santacruci, he popped in on some, Brad, oh, I can't think of Brad from Discover PPG, the Oregon guys, which I'm actually going to call him because I want to talk to him about that situation, about the Oregon coast, how it got shut down, and it seems like a lot of things are going the right way for him right now. So I'm going to give him a call and kind of get the scoop, more information about that situation. But really nice talk about some of their training and things that they do, also that I found on some of the recordings that I had that I recorded down there. So, but anyway, have one more thing for you. Just got off the phone with Joe Onofrino, the gathering, the Monument Valley fly-in. It's coming up October 19th, 20th, 21st. Got a chance to talk to him. And, well, thanks, Joe, for coming on. And I'll have him on after it's over and see how everything went. So sit back, relax. Joe Onofrino, go to, well, I think it's a blog, flyingtheholygrail.com/blogspot. I have it actually a direct link on the page, and you'll hear, well, I don't, of course, I don't have it sitting in front of me right now, but you'll get the correct place to go as far as web to check out the information. You definitely need to go there, check out the information, and read up on everything about the fly-in. And so, anyway, sit back, relax. I'm rambling right now. Joe Onofrino, we're going to talk about the gathering in Monument Valley coming up soon. So, thank you for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. On the phone with me, I guess it's been, gosh, it's been since the first one, what, 3 years, 4 years? Joe Onofrino, flying the Holy Grail, Monument Valley. Fly-in's coming up October 19th, 20th, 21st. Has it been 3 years, Joe? How you doing, man?
Good, well, good. Probably been 3 years since you and I've talked.
Yeah.
This is the fifth gathering at Monument Valley we've had.
Okay, I couldn't remember the number on it. Oh, excellent, man, excellent. Well, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How's it going? We was talking a little bit before we got recorded and stuff. So how's it going, other than the wing thing we were talking about? So.
Things are going well. You know, I spent the night, spent yesterday and last night on my boat, and woke up on the boat and went out to the field, and John C. did a little flying. I banged up my machine a little bit, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you walked away. No big deal, right?
That's, I walked away from it, yeah.
That's good.
No major damage and no injuries, so I can't complain.
Excellent. And it sounds like other things are going good in your life, man. Congratulations. Engaged?
I am. I'm engaged to a lovely woman, and we're We haven't set a date yet, but she's looking forward to Monument Valley. And
her name? I'm sorry, what's her name?
Her name is Don McLean.
Don McLean. All right, yep. Congratulations, you guys, man. Lots of smiling. Oh, I know, me and Joe, Facebook friends or whatever, I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, man, he is cheesing hard. All right. Beautiful woman. Beautiful woman, man.
Thanks.
So, wow. Well, all right, man. Gathering, Monument Valley, your fifth one. Last year was great weather. Once again, I was telling Joe, I said, this is one of the ones I've really been planning to try to go, but man, it's just my time at work, and it gets to this, and it's so far away from me, but I hope to get there at least one time before, well, hopefully it'll always be going on.
And it's a bucket list place. Someday you'll make it.
I plan to. I really do. Well, I'll tell you what, man. That's kind of, like I said, October 19th, 2021. And, give us some details, man. I mean,
I'm getting there on Wednesday, so I'll be there on the 17th. And it's the same place, Golding's Lodge and Trading Post, just outside of the Navajo Tribal Park at the very bottom of Utah and Arizona. And, we've got a good crowd coming this year. Looks like probably the biggest crowd we've ever had.
Excellent.
I talked to Mo Shelton a couple of days ago, and he's bringing 8 or 10 guys.
Excellent.
Ryan Shaw's bringing a bunch of guys, and Chad Bastian's coming. Jeff Goins talked about flying in on his Bonanza.
Wow, okay.
So it's looking to be a real good crowd.
That's excellent, man. I guess I don't even know if we should say anything about it, but you won't have an issue with a certain crowd this year, the way I understand.
No, might as well talk about it.
Okay.
Dale Shanzi kind of screwed the pooch last year. He pissed off airport management, and they asked me to ask him not to come, and I was more than happy because we didn't really... You know, I just seem not have to deal with that
anymore. Right.
And, so he called me a few names and said he was going to follow the Lord. And I said, that's fine. Just good boy, follow the Lord. Just don't follow him to the righteous gathering of brothers at Monument Valley. Mm. So that's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't remember the name, but the name of the company is Discovered Paragliding. I think his name is Brad, and I forget his
yes.
Name, but,
yes, the Oregon guy, Oregon Coast
that's
deal.
Right.
Yes.
You kind of messed them up. Well, they called me the day after I had that little confrontation and said, well, that's all we needed to hear. We're going to be there. So they're coming down and probably bringing some of the Oregon people with them.
Excellent. Yeah, I got to call Brad and talk to him about that situation. Talk to him at Beach Blast and stuff. But, yeah, that's great, man. I saw some of the video and stuff like that. And you kind of, you know, hear what some of the things that actually happened, you know. Good. Sounds like it's already bringing other people out. So that's excellent.
Yeah.
So, good.
Yeah. There's people coming this year just because it's going to be Delphi, and that's fine.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see, a couple of questions that people might want to know. Can I ship my equipment to the lodge? No?
You can ship it
you can.
To Golding's Lodge and Trading Post, and just make sure your name is posted on the box real well, and it wouldn't hurt to give them a heads up it's coming, but... they're ready to receive equipment. I spoke with Golding's a couple of days ago, and the hotel rooms are booked.
Wow.
But there's still plenty of RV camping and tent camping. And as of a couple of days ago, there was still one or two of the cabins in the RV campground available if somebody wanted to rent a cabin.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Joe, go ahead. Give your website real quick, too, where these guys can go. I should have done that.
The website is it's a blog, actually.
Okay.
flyingtheholygrail.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And if you just Google Flying the Holy Grail, you'll see it. If you put the gathering at Monument Valley up on Facebook, the event is up there, and I encourage people that are on Facebook to at least go on that page and put your name up if you're coming.
Oh, excellent. Hey, and guys, I'll have a link, direct link on the Podomatic page and stuff, so you can really go there too. And well, great, man. Well, I tell you, let's see, what else? If I was a guy first coming out, you say there is tent camping and campground camping, and actually a few cabins left and everything, which is great. How about what is this going to cost me? Is it a paid event or?
No, this is a little different deal. This is a non-sponsored event.
Okay.
There's no registration fees. The only cost will be campground fees, which is about $30 a day, I believe, for an RV, and like $20-$25 for the tents. If you want to make a contribution to the Navajo Tribal Park, it's $5 a day.
Okay.
And that's optional. But no, this is a relatively inexpensive event. We do have a banquet on Saturday night, so if you want to attend that, it'll cost you your dinner. I'll have patches made up, and since I'm not charging entry, I'm going to ask people to at least give me enough money to pay for their patches.
Okay.
That's it. So mm-hmm. It's a relatively cheap trip once you're there. It's just spending the gas money to get there.
Get there, right. Exactly right, yeah. Oh, because I can remember, this was one of the, you know, the videos on YouTube and stuff you see, and it's like, oh my gosh, and you know, like you said, last year, it looked like the weather could have been shaky, but what you say, it was like one of the best fly-ins as far as weather-wise since you, out of the, 4 years or 5 years now, I guess,
years. That was best. Last year was our fourth year, and that was the best weather we'd ever had.
Yeah.
Every single morning and every single afternoon was flyable. But we really haven't had a bad one yet.
Right.
We've had a couple mornings where the winds were too high, but we've been very fortunate as far as weather, and this is definitely the best time of year to go to Monument Valley. Mm. The winds are down, storm activity is pretty minimal, and it's a good time to go.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you, another question is for maybe the new guys you need to know. What are some of the do's and don'ts when it comes to flying around these things, the monuments and everything?
Well, it's a good thing to hit the blog site and read Paul Anthem's article. He did the cardinal error of losing awareness of where the wind was coming from and got into some rotor behind a monument, and it scared the poop out of him, and everything was okay, but his wing folded up, and he dropped quite a distance and really had a hard time getting out from underneath that wind rotor. And so the do's and don'ts are just always stay on the weather side of the monument during wind. Know which way the wind is blowing. I tell people, bring a GPS, a little wrist mount or something, monitor the wind. What I like to do is go up way high, fly to the monument I've selected, because I tend to pick one particular monument and concentrate on it for each flight.
Okay.
So I'll go up way high, fly to the monument, and be maybe 500 feet, maybe even higher, above the top of the monument, and just make some circles up there. And watch my GPS and say, okay, the wind is definitely coming from the south, southeast, or whatever it is, and just slowly descend onto the monument so that I'm working myself on the windward side of it. Now, if there's no wind, and every once in a while you get that, it is magic, because you can literally fly through those fins and get that amazing photograph that you've always wanted.
Right.
But you have to go and pay your dues and wait for the day that there's no wind at all. Otherwise, you just have to be a little more careful.
Okay. Wow. That's good information there, because that's one of the, as far as a new guy or a newbie, never thought about that. Yeah, get some height there and then slowly descend down on it. Excellent idea.
And there's another way to do it, because Golding's Lodge, the airstrip, is in kind of a protected place with cliffs on two sides, and so the wind may be flowing relatively quickly over the top of the cliffs mm-hmm. and down where we're launching, it's calm as can be. So in that case, you stay low and run out across the flats toward the tribal park, and then don't start climbing until you're well out from under the rotor. And it's a little counterintuitive, and usually you go through a small bumpy inversion as you climb out of it, but you know, get several thousand or even several thousand yards or even a mile or two at the low while you're down in the flats, and then climb up. So that's another way to go about it, and we'll talk about those at the briefing.
At the briefing, area. Okay. Well, you will have a briefing, first day, morning?
Well, we're going to get a little more organized, yeah. We've always done short briefings, but I'm going to have organized briefings every morning at the crack of dawn.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay, let's say you have a trashy day. Is there other things, jump in the car and do out there?
Yeah. Well, there's not huge a lot to do, but the Navajo Tribal Park is right there, and you jump in. Every year, a bunch of us jump in cars and go out there and drive through the tribal park and kind of get a feel for it from the ground, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of fun. Goldings has got a swimming pool. It's got hiking areas. And some guys bring dirt bikes and go riding around. There's the John Wayne Museum there that he used to film a lot of his movies there. So there's things to keep you busy.
Are the Mala monuments within the park? I always wondered. I mean,
No. That's the thing. The park is just one small segment of it.
Really?
You can be flying monuments there for a month before you even go into the park. And there was a couple of years that the Navajo were discouraging us from flying there, and we said, that's fine, because there's plenty of mammoth rocks to go fly
mm-hmm.
outside of the park.
Okay. All right. And let's say I have a motor out. You're going to have contact information, rescue, come and get me, I'm down.
Yeah, well, we're going to recommend everybody have a buddy, and then, of course, we'll have a central number to call, which will be me. And we'll go out and do recoveries if we can. And well, we'll do recoveries.
Yeah.
However hard it is, we'll do them.
Take water.
Take water, and we ask people to be smart about it and fly high enough so that they can find an LZ or at least a place to land close to the road. Because if they come down out in the middle of the desert, especially if it's a sunset flight, they may have to plan on spending the night,
yeah, wow.
They're just, you know, it's too treacherous a country to navigate if they're not going to be by one of the roads. So we've never had that happen. Everybody we've only had a couple black guys go down, and we recovered all of them without a problem. But I imagine that, you know, one of these days somebody's going to be flying low, hot-dogging down in between monuments, and they'll come down in a, you know, it's going to be a 4 or 5 mile walk for them to get out of there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there you go, guys. Fly smart.
Fly smart.
Yeah.
Fly smart at this. And remember, we're flying at just a little over 5,000 feet is takeoff altitude.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're coming up from the coast and you're used to flying at sea level, plan on you're going to have to run a little faster, and your little wing may wish you had a bigger wing,
right, yeah.
We've had some entertaining moments with guys that just didn't quite have enough power at that altitude. Now, it's not normal. Most people have plenty of power, but the guys that are marginal at sea level aren't going to be able to take off.
Oh, wow. Never. You know what? I never even thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, if you got a trike, bring it. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
If you got a trike, bring it. there will be some PPCs coming.
Oh.
There'll be some weight shift trikes coming.
Wow. Yeah.
I think I told you Chad Bastian and Jeff Goyne are planning to fly in, so they'll be just bringing their general aviation aircraft and probably a backpack unit in the airplane with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeff was at the Hogs, Air Hogs flying this weekend, so yeah, he flew in his Bonanza and stuff, so.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, sure did. That's too cool. Well, excellent, Joe. Man, anything else? I think if I was somebody new coming to check it out, I can't think of anything else to ask.
No, I think that pretty much covers it. If you come and you can, bring some firewood, because we'll be doing campfires at night, and there's not a lot of firewood available except very expensive stuff. So bring a little firewood and bring your own adult beverages. There's no adult beverages sold in the reservation there. And other than that, just come and have a good time. Do give me a call, let me know you're coming so that I can let the lodge know how many people have come to banquet.
RSVP, guys. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, Joe, man, thanks a lot. And we should have you on more, man, just to talk and see how everything's going. Shoot. Always good talking to you.
It's always fun talking with you.
Excellent.
Well, all right, Joe Onofrino. The gathering at the Monument Valley Fly-In, guys, coming up October 19th, 2021. This is one of those I really want to go to. I've been wanting to go to this for, well, since it's been going on. This is number 5, so 5 years. I can remember going to YouTube and actually seeing a video of somebody flying out there and said, oh, my, it's just awe-inspiring type deal. Sitting in a chair, feet hanging, just checking out the view. Hopefully the weather will be absolutely gorgeous, and you first time guys out there, I've always wanted to fly out there and never done it. It'll be beautiful for you. So fly safe, go to the blog spot, read all the information on it, get in touch with Joe, RCP, so he'll know you're coming out, and we'll have him back on here and talk about how everything went. So just gives me another reason to dream to get out there. So it's just so far away, and the work and just kills me. I guess I'm just going to have to buckle up one time and head out that way. So, anyway, all right, so all I got for you today, guys. Thank you for listening. The Indy Air Hogs fly-in ended today. It went well. Not a lot of flying time. Thursday, which is, I didn't tell you, I don't know if I told you, no, I had a motor out issue Thursday at the Hogs fly-in. Or did I? I can't remember. Anyway, it's a wiring. No big deal. Taken care of. I think I said it on the front end of this, didn't I? I can't remember. Anyway, it's all a blur. Time to go to sleep. Get ready for work in the morning. We'll stop here. And that's all I got for now. Any questions, comments, get in touch with me. More than welcome to come on the show if you have something interesting or just want to chit chat and ask questions, and hopefully I can help you out. So once again, thank everybody for the support. We'll talk to you soon. Fly safe. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio.
Fly away. I wanna fly.